Amen. I'm going to put this down here. All right. Good to see everybody. Sunday morning. Here we go. Come and see and believe. That's what we're here to do. We're here to get into God's word and wanted to give a quick update on something I announced a couple weeks ago. I announced that Douglas Jacoby and I are going to be leading a trip to the seven churches of Revelation in October of 2027, like over a year and a half from now. And so we're kind of giving you a little bit of advance notice. We hope that you appreciate. I think we're halfway done with the spots. So in 2 weeks, already people have like filled in. So there's 48 spots right now. There's 24 more left. If you want to come, we'd love to have you. It'd be great to be together on a life-changing event. So please check it out. But really excited about that. So yes, we have been in the Gospel of John, and we have been really trying to dive in and not just read scripture, but encounter Jesus. And hopefully we can continue to humble ourselves and allow God's word to transform us. Let's pray. Father, we get distracted easily. Pray we can settle our minds and empty ourselves of ourselves and have an individual humility and a collective humility in this moment to actually believe in how real you are. And that the reality of wherever you are is actually more real than what we're experiencing here. It's deeper than our minds can comprehend. But we're so grateful that you've given us the scriptures that we can understand your heart. And God, we know the fullest expression of your heart is the life of Jesus and what we see in him. And I pray we orient everything in ourselves to focus on him right now. I pray for that, God. Please help us as we grow closer to you through Jesus. Thank you for your spirit. Your Holy Spirit is real, dwells within us, among us, teaches, guides, convicts. And may we be humble today. In the name of Jesus, in the power of Jesus, pray. Amen. So I didn't even know that Steve Atkins was going to do that today. So I had prepared a slide to actually go over that and help you know that we have additional resources like a reading plan. So amen. And sometimes we don't cover an entire chapter in 30 minutes. A lot of times the sermon will happen, we can only get to a few verses. And so sometimes I might do like just an audio of the rest of the chapter. That might happen this week. It might not. I don't like promise it, but if I can make it happen, I will. So I've done that a couple times before, and because we can't get through all of John chapter 5, but we're going to do some. And I just want to remind all of us that John wrote this, and it's good to go back to periodically. That Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. You know, these signs that we've been seeing, these are pointing to who Jesus is, and it's pointing to God. It's not just God. Jesus is not just doing things so people can be all, ooh, Jesus is cool. It's a sign of who he really is. And who is he? Well, he is the anointed one. He is king. He is high priest. He is the one that is here to save this world. He is the fulfillment of all of Israel, the promises to Israel. Jesus is the fulfillment of them all. He is God's son. He has a unique place. And it's all about how are we going to respond And it's this belief, this trust, this dependence. It's our option. He doesn't force us to believe. We have to respond in belief. And when we do, and if we do respond in this belief, this deep dependence, then we can get a life that we can't even achieve anywhere on this earth with our own resources. It's a life that's only given from above. And that is what's at stake. And that is why John felt compelled to write what he wrote. And we're going to continue to keep looking at these stories. And I appreciate our friends at the Bible Project that remind us of what the nature of the Bible even is. It's something that you're supposed to read over and over again in your life. If you have the mindset, I read the Gospel of John last year. Okay, well, just so you know, you can read the same passages more than once. In fact, that's the way the Bible's kind of written, so that you can go back to the same stories over and over again and see if you can encounter Jesus anew. That is possible. That is how God works. And one of the things that we've learned as we've tried to do these sermon series over the years is that we've found that it is often helpful periodically to kind of make sure we're not going too fast. And I think John is the perfect gospel because in John, like we've been trying to say, John is written in a very, very simple language in a lot of ways. He uses words that aren't really hard to understand, but he often uses words that have multiple meanings. And it's good to kind of be reminded of what John is trying to do. Remember in the beginning, he's talking about this word of God, and it's a he, it's a him. And he's talking about the word, the logos, the will of God, the heart of God, the expression of God, really being who Jesus really is. And he talked about life, and he talked about light, and the light shines in the darkness, even though the darkness cannot understand it or try to overcome it, but cannot. And we saw how important it is for people to have a testimony or a witness about who Jesus is. How else will the light shine, right? Jesus shines his light, but he also is hoping that those who have encountered him will also share their testimony. And we see this unique revelation of Jesus. The will of God, the heart of God, the intellect of God actually became a person. Not an abstract thought or a philosophy, a person. Put flesh on and walked among us. And that's who Jesus, that's who he really is. And these words, though, life, light, witness, testimony, they come back over and over, and it's helpful to be reminded. And it's helpful to realize, you know what? John said, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, who has made him known. Jesus makes God known. Some people, I don't understand God, or where I don't know how to find God. If you can focus on Jesus and these stories and these signs about Jesus, you'll know who God is, because no one has been closer to the presence of God than Jesus. And Jesus makes God known to all of us. Pay attention to who Jesus is. And all of these stories help us understand him better. John the Baptist had a testimony, said, Jesus is the Lamb of God. Well, why did they use lambs for sacrifice? So wait a minute. So Jesus is going to be sacrificed by God? Well, what's going on? Something to think about. The first disciples, right? What did the first disciples do before they talked about meeting the Messiah? They spent time with Jesus. They stayed with him. They remained with him. They abided with him. Those words are important in John's gospel. That's who hopefully we are, people that actually spend time with Jesus before we go out there talking about who he is. Last week, the Samaritan woman, she spent some time with Jesus, and what happened? She said, look, I've found the Messiah. This is amazing. This is what it's all about. These people didn't feel burdened to go share about who Jesus was. That's the after effect of spending genuine, authentic time with Jesus. I pray we can grow in this and get that fire again. So I'm like, man, I don't feel like sharing my faith. I don't feel like going and inviting people. Well, maybe it's because you just haven't really spent some good time, quality time with the Lord Jesus. And maybe that's where you need to start. I appreciate John's gospel. It's probably written, it's the last one written. He probably had access to all the other gospels. You know, John takes a little different approach. He gives us these long interactions with Jesus, with people as they wrestle. You know, we talked about the Samaritan woman, but then right after that, you know, right before that story, we had Nicodemus, right? Because you have this light and darkness in John. Two simple words, but ooh, they have more meaning. Nicodemus meets Jesus at night. And does he believe? Well, sort of. Because he even said to Jesus, you know what? You must be from God. Because the stuff you're doing, no one else could do unless God was with him. So, I mean, he had some kind of belief, right? But when you see night or dark in John, it actually sometimes has a little bit deeper meaning. But what about the Samaritan woman, right? You got Nicodemus. He's the high end. I mean, he's a male in that culture. He's a religious leader, deeply respected, teacher of Israel, supposed to have all the answers, and he's in the dark, and he's still at the end. You're like, I don't know if Nicodemus gets it. But the very next person Jesus rolls up on is a woman in that culture whose past she's not very respected probably, right? Not high up in the religious orders. But she comes at noon during the day. And does she believe? Oh, absolutely she does. Light, darkness. And John even says, man, light is coming into the world. But you know what? Some people don't like the light because they like their own deeds of darkness. But light invites the truth because whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. So when you read John, look for light, look for day or night, that language. When you see John, don't forget about life, that word that he talks about so much. In Jesus was life. We've talked about that, not biological life, right? It's deeper than that. There's another level of life, this depth of life, this spiritual life. Nicodemus, Jesus tried to teach him. There's a birth that we all need, but it's a birth that mom and dad can't give you. I mean, they give us life, but this life is from above. Only God can give you this life. Only in Jesus can you get this life. And he was trying to tell that to Nicodemus, and Nicodemus just couldn't seem to figure it out. And Jesus tried to tell him, eternal life, that's not something that you just got to wait for after you die. And that's what so much of modern Christianity is. It's like, well, let me just have an experience, some kind of transactional experience with the Lord. And then like, okay, cool, I'm good. Now I can live life all I want to do because when I die, I'm just going to make it to heaven. That's what so many people's view of eternal life is. And Jesus is like, hold up, that's not what I'm here to do. I'm here to give you life right now. You can live the life that is all about the will of God right now. I've broken into this crazy world to offer this life from above. Do you want it? He doesn't force it on anybody. What about water? When you see water in John, a lot can be going on. Water, I get water, H2O. Ooh, a lot more going on with John. Remember the wedding, right? Jesus could have just created the wine out of nothing. Right? But he uses their purification ritual with water that he uses, but he makes it even more intense, right? He talks about this new birth is going to be with water and the Spirit. And then the woman, she's trying to get water out of the well. Jesus is like, man, if you knew who I was and the water I got, you'd be asking me for water. You can pull all the water you want out of that well, but you're going to be thirsty again. But you live the life I'm giving, you will never thirst. She said, give me that water. There's more to it, this life-giving gift of water. Last week, we were reminded about Jesus and who he is, this overlap of heaven and earth. He's cleansing the temple, and he's trying to tell people, you think about this temple as being the place where heaven and earth overlaps, but actually, I am the place where heaven and earth overlap. I am the temple. I am the presence of God. In fact, in this passage, in John 2, when he's doing this, there's two words that can be used for temple, and when Jesus refers to himself, he uses the word that can be translated sanctuary or holy of holies. It's not just the whole temple, it's he's the Holy of Holies. He's the most intimate part of Jesus, of God's presence. It's not about a building, it's about where Jesus is. But what are we gonna do? Because some people only believe through the sign, the miracle, right? Some people believe through people's testimony, and some people struggle to believe, but you got to be willing to respond to what Jesus is doing. And that brings us to today's passage in John chapter 5. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, and the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in that condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" First thing is, this is a pretty rough scene if you really allow yourself to think about it. A great number of people who are deeply on the margins of society. I mean, these are the quote-unquote eyesores of the city. And all in this one place, you can only imagine the situation. The way it looked, the way it smelled. I mean, this is probably a rough spot. And one guy had been there for 38 years. And, you know, Jesus learned, it's probably a better word that he knew. That's a better probably translation. You go, well, Jeff, how did he know of all those people? How did he know about this guy? Well, how did he know what Nathaniel was doing? How did he know the Samaritan woman had five husbands? How did he know that? You're supposed to ask questions like that. And when you reflect and meditate like your boy Steve Atkins learned how to do, you might go, oh, okay. Maybe Jesus isn't just another person. Maybe there's something more to this guy. But of all those people, one guy who'd been there somehow gets Jesus' attention. Do you want to get well? Now, for many years, I heard this. I've heard sermons on this passage who knows how many times. I've probably preached on this sermon, this passage in years past many times. And then I ran across a class I had to take in school where we actually had to, grammar, I mean, you had to go through like every word and what is this word and oh my gosh, it's really boring at times. But I ran across this sentence and we had to do it in class and I realized that that's not really a good translation. Because when you say, do you want to get well? To me, like that, the way it was preached and I used to preach it or and I heard it, it's kind of like, do you want to get rich? You know what I mean? Heck yeah. That kind of thing. So what is needed? It's like, well, you need to do the stuff to get rich. Or, hey, you want to get in shape? You're like, yeah, I do want to get in shape. Okay, so it's kind of on you to do the stuff you need to do to get in shape. Do you want to get well? Well, you know, you need to do what you need to do to get well. Like, that's the way I kind of always heard it preached. This guy been around 38 years. He just lazy. All this kind of stuff. He lost his heart. You know, you just get well. And then, the teacher, we're in class, and it's boring to taught. I mean, we're like going through every word, and it's like this word, that's not really the translation. The voice, the mood, it's more middle or you know, closer to passive than, it's more, do you desire to be made well? That's a different question. Or do you want or desire to become whole? That's a different question. Because here's the deal. You know what? Jesus could have easily said to this guy, hey, bro, you want me to heal you? Right? Let's just cut to it. He could have walked up to, do you want me to heal you? If you really reflect on the differences of those questions, they're different. What is Jesus getting at? First of all, he's like, what do you desire? What's in your heart? And I think that's a question Jesus has for all of us. You see, Jesus is concerned about the whole man, not just the operation of his limbs. He wants to make him whole. Mind, body, spirit, emotion, all of who he is. And he wants him to do, but I'm not going to force it on you. And you know what? I'm not into just doing little transactions with people. Do you really desire to be made whole? Because I'm not going to force this on you. Because you know what? You can maybe get into that pool if you want, but and maybe your limbs will start working. But you know, you've been here 38 years and you ain't figured it out yet. So it's on you, bro. What do you really want? What's in your heart? Well, sir, you know, I mean, I have no one to help me into the pool, man, you know. When the water's stirred, you know, I'm trying to get in. But man, did somebody get in before me? Some of your translations even have an extra part where it talks about there's an angel of God would come and stir the waters. And that's not in all the manuscripts, just so you know. And the most trusted ones don't even have that in there. But the reality is, what is this guy focused on? He focused on the pool in the water. Once again, water, that can't do it for you. Just like there's another thing with, he's looking at this pool and he thinks, if I just get over there, I'll be fine. It's just like the woman at the well, you know, once again, water, talking to Jesus, talking to him. And she goes, Jesus, you ain't got nothing to get the water out of the well. What you talking about? She's focused on the water. This guy's focused on the pool, thinking that something's going to happen over there. His focus is in the wrong place. And then he said, I got no one to help me. Dude, you've been there 38 years. Couldn't you cut a deal with, like, one of the blind dudes that can run? You know what I mean? Right? If Andy Willard had been there, he would have helped this dude out. Andy would have said, I got you, bro. What you want? I can hear the water. I'll get you there. I don't think this guy had any relationships. Because, you know, sometimes when you get in a tough spot, it's not just your body that can go on you. It's your emotions and your spirit. You know what I mean? You get, if you deal with people that have constant challenges emotionally or constant physical challenges, it seeps into all of your life. But he's been there almost 40 years, and all he can say is, man, I try to get in, but, you know, other people get in there in front of me, and he's just so focused. If I just could get over there in that water, then I could finally get what I want. What a sad situation. Hanging out with paralyzed people that can't move, and focused on something that probably won't even help them. What a metaphor for a lot of people's spiritual journeys. I know that was that described my spiritual journey. All that time trying to figure, well, if I just get this, then I'll be all right. Focused on the wrong place. Where are you focused today? I know some of you, hey, like I said, we got people all over the place in here. People Googling, people online. Hey, man, we're grateful. I hope you can find an encounter with Jesus here in this place. But I don't know what you're looking at right now thinking that's going to do it for you like this guy. But he was looking in the wrong place. I appreciate Jesus, though, man. Jesus is straight up. Jesus said to him, man, get up. That's how I think he said it. You can't prove he didn't. No more than I can prove he did. Hey, you over there talking about getting out. Man, 40, get up. And pick up your mat, bro. Walk. Just go. And once the man was cured, he picked up his mat and walked. What do you feel like is missing, in your opinion, from this moment? What do you say? Gratitude. Right? I mean, right? Shouldn't it be like he stood up, his legs worked, and he started jumping up and down, and he started walking around telling everybody, look, like what? At once the man was cured, he picked up his mat and walked. Hold up, did he talk to Jesus? I mean, what? He just, wow, interesting. Because I think we learn a lot about this guy in this moment. See, some folks just want a transaction from Jesus. Hey, man, I don't feel good about my life. Can you just save my sins? What, you need me to say a prayer? Okay, I'll pray it real quick. Cool, is that the prayer you want? Cool, am I good? Good, I'm going to do, bye. I'm going to live how the heck I want to live. I ain't going to tell me what to do. I'm going to go out with who I want to go out with. I'm going to spend my money with who I want to spend my money with. Hang out with whoever I want to hang out with. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. You know what I'm saying? So Jesus, I just need you to just, you know, transact this little thing so I can go around and call myself a Christian. A lot of people want transactions from Jesus. But remember what Jesus asked that dude. Do you want to be made whole? I'm not here just for the limbs, bruh. Just for you to be able to walk. But that's what that man did. Once he walked. And the story takes a little bit of a turn. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, hey man, it's the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. And all of a sudden we look in this and we go, man, well, that's so petty. But hey, at the end of the day, they didn't want to break the Sabbath. And so they came up with a lot of rules. And one of the rules they came up with was, you know, you can't be carrying stuff from one place to the other. So not that that's good or not that John is saying it's good, but this is the situation. Here's this moment. And here's, what does the guy say? The man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. What do you think about this? It's almost like he tattletaling. Right? It's like, don't get mad at me, bro. It's the dude that healed me. I don't want to get in trouble, bro. I'm good. This guy, man, the more I read this guy, this guy. So they ask, well, who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk? The man who was healed had no idea who it was. Jesus slipped away into the crowd that was there. You remember the wedding? Remember the wedding? Jesus, they ran out of wine. Woman, what you calling me? This ain't about me. Hey, listen to whatever he tells you to do, right? And Jesus tells the servants, right? And then it's almost like he just sit back. And nobody knows except the servants, right? The mom knew, because she got the mind trick on him. She knew what was going to happen. But it's like only the servant knew, and he's getting, oh man, you did a great job with this wine. Jesus, not trying to get any glory for himself. Here he is, heals a guy after 38 years. Slips away into the crowd. That should tell you something about Jesus. Messiah, Son of God, all these amazing concepts, but yet look at the humility. He's not in it just for self-gratification. Because if he was, because here's, you know, 30, here's a group of all these people that, why didn't he just go and just heal everybody real fast? Like, okay, you're good. Could have been 100 people there. But he chose one person and didn't even override that person's agency, but gave him a chance to respond. And he actually followed through, even though he probably didn't get the answer he was looking for, and still fades. Jesus, amazing power and amazing humility in one person. That's who God is. After this, Jesus found him at the temple. How did he find him? Because that's, again, Jesus can do stuff like that. I love this part. This is good stuff. If you really want to let it, this is good stuff right here. Hey, look, you have become well. In other words, you have been made well. In other words, did you notice something deeper is at work here? See, hey man, I did something in you that's deeper than just helping your limbs out. But look at you. You need to stop sinning. Oh man, I think you missed something, sir. I didn't just heal you to give you your legs back. I tried to give you a new life, and I need you to start living into that new life. But you over here off the grid here. You need to stop that sin in your life. People don't like to hear about sin anymore. But I appreciate this passage right here. Jesus is calling this guy out. I think this is something all of us need to realize. And what I love is he's straight up, stop sitting, because I see you. Because you know what? You thought it was bad 38 years with all them folk. You keep on the path you go, it's going to be worse for you. That's what sin does. That's when you live outside of the way God wants you to. And it's terrible when God makes you whole and you decide to go back on your old life. God's trying to give you life so you can abide in that life. He's not trying to just give you a transaction so you can feel better about yourself. And I hope here at the North River Church, I hope that those of us when we struggle with turning away from God and going down a path we know ain't the path we need to be on, I hope we can have the humility to just own it. Talk about it. Get open about it. Because it can get worse for us. And if you're out there online, you're out there, you Googled us, you showed up, it's your first Sunday, you know, I hope you can hear this word. That Jesus wants to make you whole. He wants to make you well. You can't do it yourself. It's not like going to the gym to get in shape. It doesn't work that way. Only He can make you well. Only He can give you a life. Not just an existence, but a life. And He calls you to abide with Him. Don't just take your mat and walk. Don't just take your, I'm good now. I'm just going to do what I want to do. Jesus is like, no, man, I'm going to find you again. Before it was, do you want to be made well? It was more like, I'm going to wait on your response. This time it's not, no, I'm waiting on your response. This time it's a proclamation. I gave you life. I expect you to live differently. Man, I hope we take this word, North River, and appreciate the life that Jesus gives us. He's not just trying to have a transaction with us, guys. It's deeper than that. So because Jesus was doing these things on the Sabbath, the Jewish leaders began to persecute him. In his defense, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at His work to this very day, and I too am working." For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. I love Jesus, man. I love this guy. He's got all these guys coming, just giving him heat. And he's talking about, you know, the Sabbath. You know the story of the Sabbath. I mean, God created 6 days, seventh day he rested. So the Jewish people trying to respond to that, the Ten Commandments and rest. So they come up with all these things you're not supposed to do. But guess what? People kept being born on Sabbath days. So somebody was doing work. Oh, sorry, Mom, you can't go into labor. No pushing. You got to wait till tomorrow. But honestly, like, there literally were debates about stuff like this. People were still being born and people were dying. And so what God is bringing life into the world, and God is also kind of ushering people into the next life too. So God, he's working. So he, since his universe is his, he's kind of not breaking the Sabbath when he does stuff on a Sabbath day, because he's got to keep the universe going. And so Jesus knows that that's what they've kind of concluded. And so Jesus said, hey, you know, my dad, he's working. Well, so am I. If you made provision for him doing his work on the Sabbath, then you need to, because guess what? I'm giving people life. That's what I'm doing. They didn't like that answer too much. And they wanted to kill him for being so insolent, making himself equal with God. But we already read the passage before. We know Jesus was so close to the Father, he was making him known. And that's who Jesus is. And I hope that a reflection on just a few verses from John 5, I hope that we can appreciate that Jesus offers us something amazing, wholeness to make us well. We cannot do it on our own. We need him. And not only do we receive that life when we truly believe and receive that life, you know what I mean? We're expected to live into that life and not just walk on our own. And the beauty is he gives us the church so that we can do it together. Because we individually can't walk on our own this life. Hopefully we need each other and use each other and are there for each other so that we can grow together. And that's the beauty of the church. So if you are visiting us, if you are wondering, is this a place I can come and grow? I hope that you will come back. I hope that you will continue to join us. And if you've been a member here for 30 years, 38 years, whatever it is, I sincerely pray that you can be so grateful and have gratitude that this guy didn't have, but have the gratitude to consistently live into the life that Jesus has given all of us. Amen. And let's pray for the Lord's Supper. Lord, thank you for taking care of us. Thank you for giving us the ability to be whole. Thank you for giving us the power to become children of you, Father. We're so grateful for Jesus' sacrifice. We're grateful to take this bread, his body. Grateful to drink this juice, his blood, take it into our bodies as a testimony that we believe he is the Messiah. He is your son, Father, and that he is coming back to claim his own. Help us, Lord, to not just pick up our mats and walk, but help us abide in the life that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.